Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
When a good parenting expert comes onto our radar at Open House, we pounce. We're very keen to tap into their wisdom and experience in an age where parenting and growing up as a kid, it's all so challenging, so complex, so much of it is up for grabs. My next guest is laying out the many significant lessons she's learnt, together with many others, on what a son needs from his mum, so they can both survive and thrive. Cherry Fuller has authored more than 40 books with sales of 1 million plus. She has two boys and a girl and is in great demand as the executive director of the Redeeming the Family organisation, and I'm so pleased to say that she joins us now on Open House. Cherry, welcome.
Thank you, Lee. I'm delighted to be on Open House.
It's a great privilege for you to join us. Thank you so much. When you had your first son, now 41 years ago, Cherry, how equipped were you for the task that lay ahead, raising two sons?
Well, I really didn't know very much about boys, to tell you the truth. I grew up in the middle of five girls, and I do have a brother, but believe it or not, he survived having five big sisters, but he was almost 6 years younger than me, and so really I was raised in a girl world of dolls and dancing and tea parties and games and, you know, ruffle dresses mother made for us, and we did girl pretend play. Well, I should mention, too, my father died when I was 11, so I really didn't grow up around men. And so from a young age, my oldest son, Justin, was very, very adventurous. And he came by it naturally because his father is. But he very adventurous. I mean, I tell about in the very beginning of the book how he loved to climb, and I mean, he loved high places. And he, you know, he was 18 months old, and I found him on the roof. He had found a ladder that the men who were fixing our roof had left up, and he somehow got himself out. He figured out how to unlock the front door and went out there, and I found him on the roof.
Good grief.
And I would have never thought of doing that. So, you know, from a young age, both our sons, Justin and Chris's favorite costumes were cowboy and army wear and Superman and Batman capes, you know, all of that was a little foreign to me. So I would say that it was, raising boys was really a learning curve for me. I mean, a great learning curve.
What do you think has been the best thing about boys, and what do you think has been the most challenging thing about them?
For our sons, they are both very, very focused. And just seeing them go through life, one of them decided when he was 9 he wanted to be a doctor. He wanted to help people by being a doctor. And he was very, very focused on that. He is a doctor today. He's a dermatologist. Seeing their lives unfold through the different stages, what they were interested in, how God led them, all of that to me is just a marvelous wonder. And I really love that because they're both very different from me.
Yes.
As I point out in the book, I mean, boys are very different from girls, but you also have personality differences. So that was very interesting to me because I'm very, very interested in individual differences. I'm very interested in how God wires everybody up with their own gifts and talents. And so that was really fun watching them develop. I think one challenging thing was by the time they were about in middle school, they were past sitting down and having tea with mom, you know, and just sitting down talking with me. And they were both, you know, very athletic. They were, you know, really, you know, guys. And it would have been challenging to have any time with them or really connect with them, except like around the dinner table and things like that. But I learned to get on their turf. And I share this in the chapter on connecting with your son. I learned to get on their turf. And even from the time they were little boys, and then continuing on through middle school and high school, to sit down and do what they were interested in doing. When they were little, that might be playing with Legos for a few minutes. When they were in middle school and up, I mean, I'd go out and shoot hoops with them. I'd throw the football with them. Sure. I'd throw the baseball after school. And that in that activity is when they would share something, tell me something that happened at school. And it was kind of a no-strings-attached time together, not for me asking them a bunch of questions, but just for being together.
Yes.
That was a really wonderful thing that came out of that challenge.
Cherry, how early does this task of equipping sons begin, would you say?
Well, you know, I really think it begins when they're very, very little, because maternal love, as I share in What a Son Needs from His Mom, maternal love or a mother's love is really the most powerful positive influence in a son's development. And that's why in the first chapter I have this wonderful quote by the author, American author Washington Irving, from, you know, a few centuries ago, that says, "There is an enduring tenderness in the love of a mother to a son that transcends all other affections of the heart." And it's this tenderness she has for her son, this affection and love, that helps her son develop a secure attachment with his mother, and that forms the foundation of loving trust that all his other relationships build on. And so, you know, as moms, from the time they're very, very little, when we nurture them, cuddle them, reassure them, encourage them, teach them the little things we teach them around the house and the big things, and just how we love our boys determines their capacity to have a healthy beginning in life, and also the home that we create. You know, somebody has to have a heart for the home, and mothers can provide that place of safety, that refuge that enables boys the courage to explore and grow outside our home, because they have a place of safety and love and support and comfort.
What's the research say, Cherry? What have you found in studies about how to help boys grow into healthy, balanced, confident, competent young men?
First of all, I was just talking about nurturing. But at the same time, our sons or our little boys, from the time they're little on, they're going to be developing autonomy. And in the chapter that I have on developing confidence in your son, I mean, that's something a son needs, is a mom who will help him develop confidence. In other words, a way I say it is to prepare the kite for the flight, is to have the big picture in mind, which is we're raising our sons to leave us. We're raising them to not need us at some point, you know, as they grow up, and then as they go through the adolescent years and they go to college or university or to whatever they're going to pursue. And so in the third chapter, I talk about developing confidence in your son. And like, one of the ways that I talk about is giving them choices, you know, not controlling them. If we control our sons, we make them very, very needy, and then they really don't develop confidence. And I share, for instance, that raising a confident, courageous boy involves letting them do things by themselves and make mistakes, you know, letting him make his bed even if it turns out a little messy, pulling on his jeans alone just as soon as he's able to do that, instead of saying, "Oh, I'll do that." And then when they get in school, you know, I taught school for a long time, and I heard a lot of moms say, "Well, we have a test tomorrow, or we have a project to do." You know, she's talking about she and her son.
Yes.
And that takes away their ownership, so they're not really doing it themselves and developing the confidence of a job well done. So I think an attitude of helping them figure it out, you know, and saying to them when they get a little older and they have a problem, instead of me solving the problem or the mom solving it, to say, "You know, you'll figure it out. Let's brainstorm about that." Little ways I share in this chapter on boosting their confidence and building their confidence is, like, as soon as your son is able, let him order his food at the restaurant instead of you always ordering for him.
Yeah.
But those are some of the ways, and I think it's important because, you know, we live in a world that sort of tears our kids down, and they have a lot of discouragement around them on the playground, on the news, and I think a mother's encouragement is very, very important.
I find it interesting, as someone who's helped raise one son and three daughters, that's me, you say that having a daughter is less confusing for a mother.
Research shows it is, in that you understand, you know, you understand the gender. You are that gender, and you understand that. Now, it doesn't mean you won't have conflict. I mean, it doesn't mean that. I have one mother who said, "You know, I realized that I was in charge of raising a human being who acts and thinks and looks exactly the opposite of me in everywhere there is."
Yes.
And so she felt underqualified, and I think sometimes mothers do. Raising boys, but at the same time, it's a great adventure raising boys.
On Open House, we're with Cherry Fuller on What a Son Needs from His Mum. Cherry, you address at some length the question of a boy's character and how to develop it. What would you say is the key to that?
Well, I think first of all is realizing that your role model is very, you know, is really your most powerful way to impart good character, strong character. And in a little section called Actions Speak Louder Than Words, boys, as well as girls, learn the most by imitation. They learn by watching the adults around them. And even if we don't think they're watching, they really are watching what we do. For example, if you want your son to really persevere on the soccer team, even though they're losing every game so far, let him see you sticking with a difficult project at work and not giving up. A good example would be that, you know, if you want your son to communicate with you and stay tuned in and you want to connect with him, in other words, be a good role model of somebody who doesn't, like, stay on your smartphone all the time, and be a good role model. That's the first thing. And then just realize that, you know, building character is one of the most important things we do as parents and as mothers. And a lot of it is really developed in the home. It's not like you weren't learned character, good, strong character from a workbook.
No.
You learn it from being and doing, and you learn it from the central core values that your mom and dad, you know, are teaching you.
Yes.
Good character and virtues are transferred through daily life, through our relationships, through family life. And it's, you know, it's a slow process, but I encourage moms, and I would encourage your listeners, that if, you know, if you're, for instance, deciding this, it really important, honesty is important, perseverance is important, commitment, loyalty, and respect, and you say those are some character values and that I want to pass on to my son, I want to impart to my son. Well, if you work on these in, you know, certain ways, and you model these, then you'll get 1% growth in your son's character each week. I mean, that sounds like a little, but in a year, you'll get 50% growth.
Yeah.
Because it's day by day and precept upon precept.
And you say a critical part of all of that will be the way Christian faith informs the whole process.
Oh, yes, indeed, because faith is really what gives a boy a sense of worth and purpose. And helps him thrive no matter what the obstacles that he's going to face. And I personally think children today, young people today all over the world, in our country and in Australia, they need to know there's a future and a hope. And that comes out of the Bible. I mean, that's God has a future and hope for every single boy and girl and adult, because his word says in Jeremiah 29:11 the Lord says, I have a future and a hope for you, not calamity, and when you seek me, you'll find me, when you look for me with all your heart. So I think imparting to this generation of children and young people that no matter what it looks or how things look in the economy or in the culture, God has a future and a hope for them.
Yes.
And they're going to find that as they begin to grow in Christ. They're going to find that purpose. And what a marvelous thing when a young person, a young boy, gives his life to Christ and has his whole life for that destiny to unfold. I mean, I think it's a marvelous thing.
I think this is also an inevitable question while you address the whole issue of mothers and sons. There's that critical role of the dads. You're not denying that.
Oh, I'm not at all. No. And, you know, it's just that I was not addressing dads in this particular book. I don't know about in Australia, but there are many, many custodial single parents in our country who are mothers. In fact, research shows that 85% of custodial single parents are mothers. That means the parent who has custody of the children. And they may have the dad involved in the life, and hopefully they do, but it's the mother who's actually raising them. Fathers are tremendously important, but at the same time, mothers are. And so in this book, I was trying to encourage mothers about the imprint they can have on the lives of their sons, about the, you know, in their spiritual life, in their character, in by encouraging them, and then by releasing them to manhood, because that's our ultimate gift that we give to our sons, to release them to manhood.
Yes, you have some great wisdom on how a mum can successfully let go of her son. When do you say the right time will be for that, and how will that process best happen?
Well, when your son becomes an adolescent, I think it becomes obvious. I mean, we begin to realize they're pulling away from us. And rather than, I mean, they are. I mean, because in the adolescent years, a boy has to, you might say, grow away from his mother. That doesn't mean he's leaving home yet, but he has to do what's called individuating. And to individuate means that you begin to pull away in certain ways. In other words, you're not sitting on your mother's lap, you know, in your adolescent years as a boy. No. It's so that he can stand on his own 2 feet one day. And I think one of the big things we can do, gifts we can give our son in releasing them eventually to manhood, is realize that rather than resisting his God-given desire to be independent, which that begins really, you know, pretty early on in a boy's life, and then it accelerates in the adolescent years, but to little by little transfer responsibilities to him so that when he leaves, he won't need you.
Yes.
And allow him, think of the areas that you can allow him to make decisions.
It's a very tough thing for a mother to do, though.
It is very tough, and that's why I have a whole chapter about it.
Yes.
That's why I talk about it quite a bit, because the truth is, I mean, I think that is a very challenging thing about mothering sons or daughters, is because we need to be getting them ready for adulthood, and often as moms, we don't think about that. We're thinking about nurturing them. One of the things that adolescent boys complain about their mothers is their mothers still talk to them like they were little children.
Yeah.
But one way we can tell is when your son takes a little leap or a bound towards independence, you know, to not take that as rejection, to not take that personally. They still love us. They still love you very much. But they must separate and be autonomous eventually so they can stand on their own 2 feet and then have a God-ordained family of their own someday.
Cherry, at the end of the day, is there also another necessary piece of wisdom to relax a bit, not to become overly anxious about the whole thing, particularly for those seeking to do it all in the wisdom and power of God?
I really think so, and that's why, I mean, I think as moms, if you've lost your sense of humor, we need to develop it.
Yes.
We need to be a little more lighthearted about the whole thing. And we need to, in our own time with God, come to a deeper trust that he loves our boys, our sons, much more even than we love them, and that we can trust them to him. You know, when you entrust your child to God, it doesn't mean you're abdicating your responsibilities. It means that we're rolling our burdens and our cares and our concerns for our children upon the Lord, who promises to carry those. You know, 1 Peter 5:7, for me as a mother, was my watchword. It was great, great comfort to me to bring God my burdens, because it says, cast your cares upon the Lord. In the Amplified, it says, all your burdens, all your anxieties, all your worries, because he cares for you affectionately and watchfully. That's 1 Peter 5:7 in the Amplified. And any mother carries a lot of burdens for her son. You know,
yes.
Is he doing all right in school? Is he excelling in sports? Is he, you know, how's his health? All these things. And I really think if we could roll those upon the Lord and trust every single one of those day by day, just continue to cast those upon the Lord, we're going to be a mother who has more joy, who is being an example of the faith that we're trying to raise him in. Then we're trusting God. And when we trust him and when we really believe his word, then we can begin to rest in this mothering role and enjoy it, because it's such a short period.
Yes.
I mean, it's such a short season. So if your little son comes in and he has dirty hands and because he's been outside playing, and he puts his hands on your nice white wall, and you go, oh, no, I have to scrub those off. But those handprints are going to get higher and higher, and then they're going to disappear. And so it's such a short season that if we can entrust our son all along the way to the Lord, and he'll give us wisdom. I mean, after all, I'm speaking to all the mothers who are listening to this program. God's picked you out of all the mothers in the world to be the mother of your son. And that's a great privilege. It also is a great responsibility. But God will give you the wisdom you need for your son if you will just ask him.
Cherry Fuller, I'm so glad you've joined us.
Thank you, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.